Today we hear about how God called Samuel the prophet. And let us pray. O God, help us open our ears, minds, imaginations, hearts, and souls, and discover what you need us to hear in this story today. Amen. Now the boy, Samuel, was serving the Lord under Eli. The Lord's word was rare at that time, and visions weren't widely known. One day, Eli, whose eyes had grown so weak he was unable to see, was lying down in his room. God's lamp hadn't gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the Lord's temple, where God's chest was. The Lord called to Samuel. "Look here," he said. Samuel hurried to Eli and said, "I'm here. You called me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go lie down." So he did. Again, the Lord called Samuel. So Samuel got up, went to Eli, and said, "I'm here. You called me." "I didn't call, my son," Eli replied. "Go and lie down." Now Samuel didn't yet know the Lord, and the Lord's word hadn't yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. He got up, went to Eli, and said, "I'm here. You called me." Then Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down where he'd been. Then the Lord came and stood there, calling just as before. "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of all who hear it tingle. On that day, I will bring to pass against Eli everything I said about his household, every last bit of it. I told him that I would punish his family forever because of the wrongdoing he knew about, how his sons were cursing God, but he wouldn't stop them. Because of that, I swore about Eli's household that his family's wrongdoing will never be reconciled by sacrifice or by offering." Samuel lay there until morning, then opened the doors of the Lord's house. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel, saying, "Samuel, my son." "I'm here," Samuel said. "What did he say to you?" Eli asked. Don't hide anything from me. May God harshly deal with you, and worse still, if you hide from me a single word from everything he said to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. "He is the Lord," Eli said. "He will do as he pleases." So Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, not allowing any of his words to fail. All Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was trustworthy as the Lord's prophet. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh through the Lord's own word. The wisdom of God for the people of God.
Will you pray with me? God, open all of our ears and all of our hearts to receive this word that you have before us. may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts give glory to you alone. Amen. If you've been with us in worship at United Parish over the last few weeks, we've been listening to stories in the Bible about how God gives blessings, starting with creation, with Adam and Eve, working our way through the story of Moses and the burning bush. And last week, I wonder if anyone remembers what Kent preached about. And any of my friends from the playground can answer too. Do you remember what we learned about in church school last week? Nope, no takers. Do any of the grown-ups written here in the middle remember what we heard about last week? Yes, Anne. Manna, yes, manna and quail, about how God provides for the Israelites in the wilderness. We begin a slightly new theme this week, which is all about how God calls. And we begin with the story of Samuel. So who is Samuel? Well, first of all, Samuel is approximately, scholars think, between the ages of 5 and 12 years old. Is anyone here between 5 and 12 years old? Some of them are, and they're having godly play over there. So Samuel is a young boy at this point that we meet him in the story. He's the son of Hannah and Elkanah. Hannah, who couldn't conceive a child for years and prayed fervently to God in the temple that she would be able to bear a son. And Samuel is that son. And she prayed so fervently to be able to conceive, she promised God, if I'm able to bear a child, I will dedicate him to you in service to you. Which is why Samuel is ministering to Eli. And I don't know about you, but when I hear call stories, especially from the Old Testament, I sometimes get a little jealous. I wish God would speak to me that directly. Three times in the middle of the night? How great is that for Samuel? I think especially as people living in a postmodern world, it's really easy to dismiss these signs and wonders as things that used to happen, but maybe don't anymore. But to reemphasize Kent's encouragement to us last week, the signs of God's kingdom are still all around us. We just need to pay attention and look for them. And actually, the scripture we just heard and read says that signs and visions of the Lord were rare even in those days. So there's a way we could read this story, which is that Samuel was just destined to become a priestly prophet from in his mother's womb. The Bible narrates his life like he was destined for greatness from the very beginning. But I think there's another way we can look at it, which is that Samuel's life is equally about the plans that God had for him as it was his own openness to listen, and the people around him who supported his calling, including his mother, his mentor Eli, and maybe others we don't even know. Samuel does not just suddenly hear the voice of God one night. He's been listening and seeking God his entire young life up to this point, which even though he's young, he's possibly spent more hours in prayer and devotion than some adults do in their entire life. He's been practicing, learning from Eli, so that when he hears the voice, he's paying attention, he is awake, and he can respond, "Here I am." And even as clear as the call is, "Samuel, Samuel," Samuel is still confused. It takes three times before his master, Eli, realizes that the voice Samuel is hearing is the voice of God. Both Samuel and Eli are a little confused. So it's okay for us to be a little confused, I think. Calls can be confusing. I would guess that very few of us are so lucky as to hear our name repeated three times in the night by God, And if that's you, I am so happy for you. So, of course, it isn't always clear to us if we are being called, what we are being called to, or who is doing the calling. Even if we think we've heard something, we might question, did I really hear that? Did I really feel that? Was it really a call from God, or was it my own desire, my own ego? Has anyone ever been confused like that? I know I have. Yes. And I think this is where community comes in. I think it's really important to notice that Samuel does not discern the call all on his own, and he can't. As a community of faith, part of what we are invited to do is to practice listening for the voice of God together, for the wisdom of God moving among us. These aren't just things we say in worship, we really believe it. We at United Parish really believe that we are here to help each other, to listen to the movement of the Spirit, because we believe that we are each given a call as ministers. That's one of the reasons we're forming Autumn Covenant groups, an opportunity to practice faith together, to listen for how God is moving in our lives. That's why we have a discernment and engagement team. Mary, I know you're part of that. A lay-led committee that is dedicated to being a conversation partner for those who are discerning a call of where the Spirit might be leading them. The church is a space where we all get to help each other do the work of discernment. You don't have to wonder alone, what is this that I'm hearing or feeling? We all need community to help us because we each do have a call to respond to. Samuel's story also helps us see that call is likely to move us outside of our comfort zone. So this is the uncomfy part. When Samuel hears his name, he thinks it's his mentor Eli. And that makes sense, right? Why wouldn't he assume that it's a familiar voice that he's used to hearing? It takes, like I said, Eli and Samuel both a minute to realize what's happening. I think about how Samuel must have felt in this moment, because just as he is hearing from God directly, he's also hearing how God is going to judge his beloved mentor, Eli, for the sins of his sons. And it turns out what Eli's sons were doing was using their priestly positions of authority to steal offerings that were being brought to the temple. And Eli knew about this and didn't stop it. So at the same time that Samuel hears directly from God, he also hears about the condemnation of his mentor. And that must have been really hard. I wonder if Samuel realized that he was being called to a place where all of a sudden Eli could no longer support him. Eli, who's been bringing him up from his infancy, and raising him and mentoring him. But now the rest is up to Samuel himself. It's like the safety rails are coming off, and he won't have Eli to go to for advice or wisdom. And he finds out that Eli has been making some pretty big mistakes. Matisse, in our worship meeting, pointed out that after Samuel hears this from God, he just lies there until morning. And even then, he's afraid to tell Eli what he heard. I wonder what he was feeling in that moment. Was he afraid, scared, scared of what Eli might do to him? One day, Samuel is going to become a powerful prophet. He is the one who will anoint King Saul and then later King David, initiating arguably the greatest dynasty in Israel's history. But right now, he's just a boy. He's 5 to 12 years old. He's just trying to make sense of a mysterious call that comes in the night. Isn't that where we all are? A little outside of our comfort zones. But maybe that's exactly the place where we can hear God better. I think we're not so different from Samuel. Samuel gets confused and he needs clarity from his community. And he can trust that God is with him through all of it. So I think we can trust that God will be in our discomfort too, as many of us are wondering what it is we are called to do at this moment in the world. We are each being called. That's not a question. I think the question is, are we paying attention? Are we listening? In one of my peacemaking classes at BU, I've been learning about the importance of listening, something that's pretty rare in our culture. And I came across this book, a quote from a book called The Little Book of Listening. It says, if we aren't practicing presence, we are practicing distraction. If we are not practicing presence, we are practicing distraction. If we are distracted, we might miss the voice. We might not hear the call. And as Kent said last week, God is always trying to get our attention. But God also expects us to do our part, to look for the signs. So will we practice paying attention? Because what we pay attention to grows in our awareness and in our ability to respond to it. With all that is going on in our world, our community right here in Boston, and in our personal lives, I don't know about you, but there's a sense of urgency that I'm feeling. Many of us want to take action, and I believe we should. But we must begin by listening. We must begin by discerning the right response. I don't expect anyone to leave here today with their 95 theses for peace in the Middle East, or an agenda for tackling climate change, or new protocols for gun safety. Those would all be great things. It's just too much to begin by asking, how do I fix the world's problems? I think instead we could be curious and ask, how is God speaking to me in this moment? What are those things that stir my soul at night? Who are the people that you feel drawn to serve? How is God inviting you to use your gifts to build a kingdom full of justice and love and mercy? If we can begin by asking ourselves these important questions, then I believe that our actions will be more sustainable, and most importantly, they will be aligned with God's love. The Little Book of Listening also says this: listening is a small action with enormous impact. There is ample evidence in millennia of change in the natural world, including among humans, that deep and lasting changes often begin with small, nearly indiscernible shifts. Big actions are so important, and they have their place. But if we want to get there, we have to start by listening closely, starting with ourselves and practicing those indiscernible shifts. Like I said, Samuel goes on to do great things. He's arguably going to become one of the greatest and most important prophets and judges in the history of Israel. But he could not have done anything great if he did not begin by listening to God, faithfully taking the first step, and simply responding, here I am, here I am, here I am. Speak, your servant is listening. My prayer is that we would have the courage to listen. Award-winning author Arundhati Roy says this:
a new world is not only possible,
she is on her way. On a quiet day, I can hear her breathing. A new world is possible, and God is calling us to participate. So speak, God. Your servants are listening. Amen.